you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, plus the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page, the ESPN YouTube feed, as well as the ESPN app. And of course, you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get to your podcast. We are on to week 5. It's Field and Stefania hanging out with you today. Daniel's right there as well. But good morning, Stefania.
Good morning,
Field. Am I okay? Is it okay for me to just ask you how you're doing?
It is totally fine.
Chivalry is not dead. We were reminded of that every day at 11 a.m. Eastern time. But I'm glad that I have your permission to ask you as such.
Thank you. I'm actually glad that you said we're on to week 5 because I'm at that stage in the season where I can't remember what week it is.
I know. Well, like, you know.
Weeks 1 and 2, I'm good. Week 3, I'm still pretty sure. Then 4, it's like they all start. I'm like, do we have buys yet?
Yeah.
You know, what's going? Are people coming off IR? This is when it starts to get really testy.
And by the way, in every other year before this, buy started as soon as week 4. No buys yet and still none this week. And normally when I think of week 5, I think about quarter poll MVP. Mm-hmm. That's usually the time of the year that we start handing out such awards. And then I'm also reminded that I believe, and maybe Daniel, he knows a lot of random stuff.
Yeah, I
believe quarter poll is actually like a misuse of the term. I believe quarter poll refers to when you are one quarter of a mile of away in a horse race. So it's actually, you shouldn't say quarter poll after 4 games.
Funny you say this. We did a bit yesterday on the fantasy show with Matthew Barry and ESPN Plus where we talked about the quarter poll and how it is a reference to horse racing, and it is in fact opposite of the way that we use it in football. So you were dead on.
How about that? And I haven't even watched that episode yet. Is it out now?
It is not out. Okay. Well, it just came out at probably 10:30. It was supposed to be out.
Gotcha. All right. So I'm taking myself off the hook for that. So we got a busy show today. We're going to talk about some news. We got a bunch of injury updates. We're going to recap last night's, not quite thriller, but it was a good game. Got the Raiders made it
not
a game.
Interesting.
In the
they
half.
Made it a game in the second half.
Yeah, and it was a delay of game last night. Yeah. Literally, Lightning pushed that game back to 8:50 Eastern time, and then we'll also do waiver wires. And I don't know. I don't want to get too much into hyperbole, but it does feel like one of the more impactful waiver wire weeks we've had so far this season because of the injuries.
Yep.
And so we're going to turn right to you, Stefania, and now I don't have to turn to you and a camera across the studio and all that.
We can look at right next to each other. It's
a lot
so
of running backs in the news today, though.
Yeah.
Let's begin with Joe Mixon for the Bengals, who they played on Thursday night, so we didn't get much of an update until really yesterday, but now we have some more context from Zach Taylor.
Well, it's interesting because yesterday during the show, I had said that Adam Schefter was reporting it was a low-grade ankle sprain, and he would be considered week to week. And then yesterday afternoon, Zach Taylor, talking to reporters, said, well, he's considered more of day-to-day.
Okay.
I still put this in the category of we don't really know with the Bengals, because I just go back to what happened with Joe Mixon last year.
Yeah.
And that we don't get detail on the nature of the injury, and we just have to sort of sit there and wait for the updates.
Yeah.
I would anticipate week 5 is out, and I would start there.
Yeah, that seems like my instincts. More than anything else, just tell me exactly what you just sized up. Right. And that even, by the way, like if you've played fantasy football, which you probably have because you're listening to this podcast, like you know the rules here, right? You just pick up the player. You expect the worst and hope for the best when it comes to injury updates, not because you want the players to go through something bad, but just you have to do that from a roster management standpoint. We're going to dive into what this means more for the Bengals backfield during the waiver wire section of the show. But for now, Joe Mixon at least is possibly out in week 5. A player that I think we can comfortably say is out in week 5, Stefania, is David Montgomery. But maybe some good news here for the Bears running back.
Well, we actually don't really know yet. All we heard was that they did not believe it was an ACL sprain. But the reason I wanted to introduce it today, the Bears backfield is a bit of a mess.
Ooh.
But also, the Bears indicated they were not going to update any more detail on his injury until Wednesday practice.
Okay, well, I have an update then. An update for you.
Well then,
here we go.
This Look one at comes this. From this is, we break news.
Yeah,
right
this one comes from Dan Graziano, which says that tests showed Bears running back David Montgomery has a knee sprain, and this is so Dan's reporting here, expected to keep him out 4 to 5 weeks. So not season ending, but
sounds like IR replacement for sure.
I would think so, and they have to, you know, those are of course 3 games missed.
So this is really interesting. So everybody pay attention, because when the Bears said they weren't going to update till Wednesday at practice time, now that this is out, I'll be interested to see. if they are forced to provide an update when they meet with reporters. So we shall see. But the good news here is that it wasn't a season-ending injury. Mm-hmm. He had a hyperextension, and you always worry about the ACL being a potential consequence of that. But there are a lot of other structures that can be damaged, and 4 to 5 weeks as a projection is not insignificant. And so, you know, that tells me this is more of a moderate sprain, and that's a loose time frame.
We'll talk in the same way that we will about the Bengals running backs, about the Bears running backs more during the waiver wire column, but good reporting there from Graz. Maybe some good news here, Stefania, that we would really love to hear. What do you know about Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey sounds like he's been testing out the hamstring. It was with the Panthers. Yeah. Has been working out. We talked about, you know, sort of average time frames on hamstring injuries and the big worry being the risk of recurrence. It sounds like he's actually going to really put it to a test on Wednesday. And as the Panthers say, see where he is football wise. Mm-hmm. And I think that means instead of just running, they want to see what does it look like when you start implementing football stuff, and can you start to test it in that way? I still don't feel great about week 5, but it sounds like maybe week 6.
So again, we only have what has happened in the past to go off of, but you will probably recall that last year, Christian McCaffrey returned to practice like quite a bit earlier than when he actually returned to games. And obviously he dealt with multiple injuries last year, but there was a time where it was like, Christian McCaffrey's back at practice. And then it was still like 2 full weeks before we actually saw him play. So in my own mind, I'm enthused by the fact that he is back, but still planning on Chuba Hubbard being the starting running back for at least this week for the Panthers. But at least we're excited to see Christian McCaffrey.
It's progress.
Yeah, it is.
And they didn't put him on IR, and it made you think at least they thought he'd be back in a fairly shorter window.
And also this year, and I don't know this for a fact, but my instincts were last year that part of the reason why they were so judicious with how they used him at the end of the season was like, what are we playing for, right? They finished with the 8th worst record in football. They're 3-1 now. They look like they could be a possible playoff team. They'll be motivated to have CMC back on the field.
Yeah, heads up. Sam Darnold's rushing touchdown is going to go down when Christian McCaffrey
I get that
comes
sense
back.
As well. At this point, he's on a literally historic pace. I feel like we're here for our daily dose of Tua updates, mm-hmm. and Will Fuller for that matter, which might as well just do them at once.
Yeah, we'll start with Tua. He's back throwing.
Okay.
He's doing some throwing, which when you have a rib injury, this is one of the hardest things to do. So it's not basic practice report, he's throwing. That's actually real progress when it comes to a rib injury, because not only the rotation from throwing, but all the movement of your shoulder blade on your ribs. I think that's a really big sign, very encouraging. It sounds like they are really letting it be known that he could potentially return when eligible in week 6.
Okay.
I still say that's interesting. It's a London game, but maybe if he's doing enough now to give them confidence that he could really be ready for that, maybe that will be when we see him.
Okay, so week 6 is in play for Tua. Week 5 is not in play, though, for Will Fuller.
Right. Will Fuller with a broken finger. That's mm-hmm. why he left. All we knew was hand injury. Now we know that he is already out for this week.
Broken finger. We don't know if it's going to be a multi-week injury. It's been a rough start for Will Fuller so far.
It's one of those things where I think based on the injury, he probably could come back sooner from a healing standpoint, but you're a receiver.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much does it impact your ability to be able to catch the ball?
Obviously missed the first week of the season due to a suspension, second week due to personal issues, now missing time with an injury. So we hope the best for Will Fuller, a guy who's really talented, we know, on the field. The problem is, in Miami's offense right now, it doesn't matter who's playing wide receiver. They can't protect the quarterback. The quarterback's not very good. Will Fuller's fantasy value has been zapped in Miami so far this year. And then, Stefania, I feel like it's basically another tradition we have here on the show, which is to give you a 49ers injury update. What do we know about Jimmy G?
Yeah, so Jimmy G, this is interesting because we talked the other day about how he was saying maybe he hoped it was only a couple week thing, and Kyle Shanahan seemed more encouraged. It sounds like after the MRI, they're calling it a calf contusion, which is a deep bruise, but as opposed to a muscle strain. Why does that matter? Because if it's bruising, like it was just superimposed, there was one play where it turned out looked like he got exactly what he said, stepped on. And if you have bruising, once the bruising clears, as long as there's not real evidence of structural damage, well, you can progress really quickly, as opposed to a calf strain where that can be multiple weeks, as we're seeing with some players who are out and even on injured reserve with mm-hmm. calf injuries. So it sounds like week 5 is a possibility for Jimmy G. Now, we have to see what he can do by the end of the week, but not so fast on assuming that it's Trey Lance.
The 49ers are due for some good injury news, by the way. So we would hope that they could get Jimmy G back as soon as week five. And I know there are a lot of people that are saying, we want Trey Lance to be the starter. You know, Stefania, I see the potential. There's no two ways about it. 41 rushing yards, 2 passing touchdowns in that first game. It also, say
but
what
a
you
limited
want.
Play calling script.
Yep.
You know, the offense does change with him in it.
Sure.
And I think that, again, I think they're going to be smart with this. I don't think it's automatic.
And I guess got to go back to this, and I'm not saying coaches are always right. Kyle Shanahan's really one of the best offensive minds we have. Kyle Shanahan is not being stubborn about starting Jimmy G. If anything, the 49ers would be motivated to start the guy that they just traded the whole house for
right.
sooner, as soon as they possibly could. Like, clearly they feel as though they are better equipped with their offense right now with Jimmy G. We'll see whether they have him in week five. And as we know right now, it's been good news for Deebo Samuel, who I think still leads the NFL in receiving yards. All right, we're going to talk about Monday Night Football in just a minute. But before we do that, do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
College football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate. Because college football is back, and so are the fans. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again, the season of Saturdays, when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole-tossing arm, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve.
Time now for our Monday Night Football recap, and the Chargers win this one 28-14, and is presented to you by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today. We got to start with Justin Herbert.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
He is so good.
He's ridiculous,
right?
He is
so good. Like, it is so much fun to watch him. There was one play, I can't even remember what point in the game it was. It's all running together, but he took a shot and delivered the ball,
yeah.
And it was accurate. And he just shows a poise that is so unusual for someone as young in the game as he is.
He's been unbelievable. He is now tied with Dan Marino and Lamar Jackson for the most games with 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions through the first 2 years of their NFL career. He's played 19 games, Stefania. Like, he's rewriting record books
he's
with
like
nearly a whole season left. He's
a baby in the NFL, and yet he's putting on these pro performances. Again, the poise in the pocket, and yet his ability to move around and create things when he needs to. I think it's that combination,
sure.
Reading defenses, just knowing his players and who is... I think this whole evolution with Mike Williams, really, with him is phenomenal. Mm,
sure. I'll tell you this, though. What's interesting is we came into this season talking about how, like, quarterback has to have rushing value to be a worthwhile top fantasy superstar, maybe absent Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And here we are, and, like, two of our best and brightest stars amongst quarterbacks in fantasy, Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert, are basically doing nothing with their legs this year. He's averaging 0.8 points per game. So through 4 games, he has 3 fantasy points with his legs. That's Justin Herbert. 3.6 per game last year. My guess is this is part just like lack of luck with rushing touchdowns this year. We're probably also reminded that while it's really, really effective on occasion when a quarterback can be a dynamic runner, like teams are also being more protective of their most valuable player then maybe we'd like them to be. Like, other than the Ravens, like, no quarterback is a true, and I guess maybe Kyler Murray as well.
Yeah.
But some of Kyler's best damage is when it's the play breaks down,
right,
and he's
right.
Also throwing for a ton of yards right now. So nothing wrong with Justin Herbert, but I'll just say this. Like, when I go through my rankings each week, Mike sets the initial projections, and what Mike does is he accounts for the matchup. And there are some times where a player drops further down the rankings than you would normally expect him to. My instinct is that if Justin Herbert drops down, and this week, because they're playing the Browns, a pretty good defense, my instinct is, like, just jam him right back up to the top, because I don't know how you feel anything other than absolutely brilliant about having Justin Herbert as your starting quarterback every single week.
You know, it's interesting to that point about rushing. So Dak did have his longest runs of the season this last week. And I think they're part of that for him. There is a confidence that is coming back in that ankle. He even talked about it and said, like, he's just really not thinking about it. And it felt good to him to be able to run like he knew he could before.
Sure.
But he also knows he doesn't have to. Mm. So I think for me, it's knowing that your quarterback can run. Like, I would much rather have a guy like a Dak where you know he could potentially take off versus a tree like Matt Ryan in that, you know,
who
who's not moving at all, because some of the rushing yards are just, they're going to accumulate a few on scrambling or making a play to get a first down.
No doubt about that. And by the way, part of this could also be the offensive line, which is much better in Los Angeles this year with all the pieces they added this offseason. Let's move to Austin Eckler.
Let's do it.
Daniel, do you want to just like take over the rest of this segment for me? A little bit. I have some mixed emotions, which I can get into, or I can just take that big fat L in the Survivor.
You know what? Let's just do this real quick. This week in the Fantasy Focus Survivor League, unfortunately, Austin Eckler drove the final nail into the coffin for one Field Minister Yates. We say goodbye.
So
after only 4 weeks of having Field in the league. Also not an expert now, I guess. Thanks, Field. I guess for whatever reason, you and I aren't. We're just like Matthew. Why is Matthew still in this league?
Because,
what are we doing? We're killing ourselves here.
Well, first of all, I'm still in the league for balance. Matthew's still in the league because his role is to be insufferable on the show. So you expect nothing less.
It's the worst that we're out and he's still in it. I don't even want to talk about it while he's here. If
you
I'm
guys better be rooting for me
not,
now.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I love the graphic for
but
people
you know what need?
Who
are
on audio.
So classic.
They put up a great picture of Field that says Field Yates. Week one to week four, like born week one.
Oh my God.
Died week
you know what
four.
To do though is like later on in the season, actually already at this point, like it just is invoking to me like, hey, how's the Survivor League going? Like someone asked you, like, we lost a lot of good men.
Lost.
I mean,
we left it all out on the field.
Yeah, we really did.
That's right.
Yeah,
Austin Eckler, though, feel. I mean, if you're talking about going down, performance
I'm okay
was
with it. And
awesome.
I had the classic like mixed emotions last night because I needed Austin Eckler to do one of two things. Stay under 17.8 points or go to 28 fantasy points last night.
How many did he get?
He got 29.5.
But
the league that I was playing him in, he actually got exactly 28. So I was like, if I get 28, I'll take the W, which I was happy about, but it came at the cost of my Survivor League team.
That's why you play in many leagues, people.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And by the way, for those who may have been watching the game, Austin Eckler came out early and I got nervous.
Yeah,
because it came out
right
and
to the
it
tent.
Looked, yes, and straight to the tent. And it's just a reminder that the tent can be used for many things.
Right,
Sometimes they're evaluating it. Sometimes they're actually, you know, re-administering some tape. They want to look at something.
Guys go to the bathroom there sometimes.
That has happened.
Yeah,
yes,
no doubt. Yeah.
You know, so it just... He proved to us by the end of the game he was still fine.
His best rushing game in a long time. It's actually maybe ever. 117 rushing yards last night for Austin Eckler. That's a career high. I'll just say this, though, is that the pass catching, it's only three catches. But as we were having the conversations yesterday about the likes of Alvin Kamara, whose pass catching is way down, Nick Chubb, who is amazing, but he's never been a big-time pass catcher. Like, in a league where there are so few, Zeke's pass catching relative to where it has been in previous years, not exactly at that same clip. Like Austin Eckler, once again, we did this drill a couple days ago. But you're redrafting right now. I don't know. I mean, is he a top five pick? He's got to be right there in the mix. I would think it's some combination of Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Travis Kelce, Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook. Right? I mean.
Yeah, I thought Austin Eckler all through the drafting season was a really good value.
Yeah.
And I picked him up in a number of leagues, so I'm thrilled with it. But I think this stat, last three games, 6.5 yards per carry. 6.5 yards per carry. I mean, he doesn't go down. He has got great vision on the field.
I'll tell you what, just in that standpoint, the idea that he plays on an offense, and we just talked about Justin Herbert and everything that he brings, but like, him in this offense, even if he's not getting these catches early on in the season, I just think the idea that they score so much, they put up so many points, so many yards, he's a fantastic lock inside that top five, I think.
Yeah. So that part is good. I don't know what to make of the Keenan Allen stat line though last night, right?
Yeah, it was weird.
7 catches for 36 yards for Keenan Allen. You'll recall that last year Keenan Allen's yards per catch was as low as it's ever been in his career. I believe it was like 9.7 it's hovering in that same neighborhood again this season. Which what's weird though is that in the first 2 weeks of the season, Keenan Allen had 15 catches for 208 yards. You're like, oh, that's much more in line with his career average. Since then, he's got 15 catches for 86 yards. Like, that's a running back stat line right there, not a wide receiver stat line for Keenan Allen. No major cause for concern. It's just something that we'll keep our eyes on going forward. And when you're sort of stacking your wide receiver tiers, guys with bigger play upside are going to be higher than Keenan Allen in our weekly rankings.
It does almost feel, though, like there's this this sense now that everybody's been watching Keenan Allen because he's always been the guy you got to try and, he's such a good route runner.
Yeah.
They've had to try and glue to him. And Mike Williams hasn't been a huge threat. Now Mike Williams is a deep threat for them.
Yeah.
And Keenan Allen has been stuck more in the middle of the field. Yeah. Although Mike Williams didn't do a ton. There was one big miss.
Yeah. Well, there certainly was, but how about this? Mike Williams goes one catch for 11 yards on four targets last night. Remember
so
a couple
frustrating.
Weeks ago
yeah.
where I was like, hey, yeah. if you want to wait on Mike Williams rather than buying into 1 week because you've seen this drill too many times over, I get it if you want to bench him in week two. Well, hopefully you did not do that. But here we are in week four, and you're probably saying to yourself, of course Mike Williams has one catch. When I finally got comfortable with Mike Williams as a lock it in, set it and forget it, no two ways about it, top 10 wide receiver, this is why we can't have nice things, Daniel.
That's true.
This is just the reason why. It's not like it was some difficult matchup.
But think of it, if he had that miss, if that had not been overthrown,
sure.
that's a touchdown and a long-distance throw.
Yeah, that's
fair. That's a double-digit fantasy points.
It definitely changes the trajectory of the night. But four targets, you know, you like to see more, right? He's been so good. Like, you love any wide receiver that you're proclaiming is a top 10 every single week or top 15 every single week. Like, if there are any games where he has less than eight targets, it's a little bit concerning, right? Yep. Like if we saw a Tyreek Hill or Davante Adams game without eight targets, you'd be like, what happened there, right? So hopefully this is not the start of more typical Mike Williams production.
I don't think, I felt like there was, Justin Herbert was under a little more duress
sure.
too yeah. last yeah. night. Yeah. And so to yeah. me, that took away some of the deep.
No, not major cause for concern. It's just one of those that when you've been down this road before, you're mindful of what it could lead to going forward. Jared Cook had a nice night for the Chargers. They actually threw two touchdown passes to tight ends. The other one was Donald Parham. Cook, 6 for 70 on 7 targets with the touchdown, 19 fantasy points. You know, he's Jared Cook, right? Yeah. Like, he'll have a couple games here or there where you're like, oh, he's a really good athlete and he can make plays in the red zone. And then you're going to have games where he has one catch on one target and you're like, why on earth did I ever bother doing the same thing I've done 5 times before, believing Jared Cook was going to break out and then only to see him not break out.
When Don Parham got the first touchdown, I was like, there goes our fantasy night. Like, if this is going to be how it is.
Totally,
like,
totally.
Yeah. Nobody's putting Don Parham in their lineup.
Yep. Matthew might. Because he plays in like 94 leagues. Derek Carr last night kind of came back down to earth a little bit. 196 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 14.4 fantasy points. You know,
salvaged what could have been a disaster of a night, though.
Yeah, a little bit of some late
no
jump time
the, yeah,
and
I mean,
second half performances. But he'd been averaging 401 yards per game. Probably just another reason, like, you know, again, why when we're having the conversation about fill-in quarterbacks, right? Like, this is why it's hard to invest in some of those guys that are not part of that lock-it-in top 10 conversation every single week. Josh Jacobs returned last night, Stefania, 57 yards, but I thought was really interesting was he had 5 catches on 5 targets last night.
So this was a weird game, and I would have to go back and track every play, which I try and do later, but it was a little bit difficult for me to actually keep up with what was happening with the running backs. If you watched, so going into the game, just to recap, Josh Jacobs was questionable because of his ankle, and the worry on the Raiders' part was that they didn't want him in there and then have to leave the game in a hurry. They wanted to know if he was going to go, he was a full go. He was out of the game very early, and I thought, oh boy. And he didn't look good. He looked, if you're just looking at his reading facial expression and body language, like frustrated and kind of nervous about the fact that this was happening. And meanwhile, Peyton Barber is in there, who we have been hearing about how much John Gruden loves Peyton Barber, and has a kick return, and then he exits the game in the first quarter with a foot injury. And Lisa Salter's report was very interesting because she said that she was telling us about Peyton Barber being out with the foot, and she said Josh Jacobs, she talked to him before the game, and he said his ankle was feeling very iffy, not as good as it had all week. He didn't know if it was the turf or what it was, but suddenly he was nervous.
Mm.
That is really insightful. I mean, it's amazing, first of all, that she got that from a player that close to the game time. But I think sometimes this happens where a player's really nervous about the injury and it starts feeding into everything that they're feeling and they're not trusting it. They were in a different location, that turf on that stadium. Don't know how it felt. But it resulted in Kenyon Drake playing more than maybe we expected.
19 snaps, yeah.
Yep. And then Josh Jacobs ends up back in. Peyton Barber ends up back in, but nobody was really at 100%. So hard to read until we see sort of the aftermath in the next couple of days.
Just 17 carries for Josh Jacobs. Unfortunately, just 17 receiving yards for Josh Jacobs. So 10.7 fantasy points last night for Jacobs. He's a touchdown dependent RB2. Like, the pass catching volume was good last night. It was a career high, but the rushing inefficiency is something that's been a real problem so far for that Raiders offense. Other than when Peyton Barber carries the ball, as Josh Jacobs now has 23 carries for 74 yards this season. Hunter Renfro, baby. Hunter Renfro, who last night did so many Hunter Renfro things, which included, I'm sure you know where I'm going with this one, the Chargers attempted a fake punt. Because it looked like it was actually maybe an automatic check for the punter, Ty Long, because the Raiders left the gunner uncovered. And who comes storming from absolutely nowhere? This was like a baseball outfielder who goes from like outside of your screen and comes in and make a diving catch. And Hunter Renfro makes a pass breakup last night.
Becoming like my new favorite player just because he's so fun to watch. And if you were watching the broadcast when they were talking about this route, is it called the China route?
It's a route concept, yeah.
That stutter, and then they showed how Cooper Kupp, who'd been training, been practicing together, and how Cooper Kupp had added that route. Like, they're like, it's a copycat league. They're trying to do these things. But you watch Hunter Renfro break ankles. Every time he does that, nobody can keep. It's fascinating. Yeah. I could watch that on loop.
I was trying to figure out who the right comparison is for Hunter Renfro as a player. I don't have the answer right now, but he is his footwork is some of the best in the NFL. And
kind of makes me think, I don't know that Julian Edelman had the same footwork, but it's that same ability to make people miss in the middle and toughness.
Yeah,
you know?
Certainly Edelman's one of the toughest we've ever seen at the wide receiver spot. But it's not just the footwork that's cool. How about this? Hunter Renfro is one of 8 players in the NFL right now who has at least 5 catches in every game. And if you look at the names, it's not like, 7 other randoms. It's Devontae Adams and Debo Samuel and Calvin Ridley and superstar talents. And Hunter Renfro, who... not there yet, but he's at least carved out a consistent role for fantasy. He's available in like 60% of leagues, probably not a 10-team starter, and probably not even necessarily a guarantee that needs to be on your bench in a 10-team league, because he may never get there is what I should say. But in 12-team or larger league, get Hunter Renfro on your bench, man. This guy has just been so consistent for them this year.
He might be one of the better fantasy values when you look at his draft position.
He's one of those where the good news is like the workload is consistent each week. The upside's not necessarily tremendous, right? Because he's not had 100 yards in a game this season. He's averaging, I want to say, like 12 yards per catch. So he would need 7 or 8 to get to 100 on average. But, it's hard to find in a deep league. It's hard to find a flex third wide receiver when bye weeks start running around. Hunter Renfro is going to be a useful piece in fantasy. Darren Waller had a pretty Darren Waller night. 4 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown.
Couple of those catches.
Yeah,
God. Like the one in the end zone. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. And the taunting calling him was so stupid. NFL, your dumb rule. How about this, though? He has not gone 3 straight games without a touchdown since 2019. So it's hard to predict touchdowns, except for when it's Darren Waller, because Darren Waller is just remarkable.
Phil, can I ask a question?
Sure, of course.
Mike Clay and I got into an argument on the CSS DFS podcast
last
week.
Was it a polite argument? You guys are so polite.
It was sort of a polite argument. But do you think that fantasy managers that are rostering Darren Waller, even though he had 15 fantasy points, have been disappointed with Darren Waller because in week 1 and those 19 targets?
Correct.
Do you think he's a player that because of that, you could take that bias that manager might have and try to spin that into a trade? I don't want to say necessarily like a buy low because 15 points is still good.
Yeah.
But there's definitely like if you're rostering Darren Waller, I think you have been disappointed after what was a monster week 1 because he set up expectations he cannot hit on a weekly basis.
Yeah, that's fair. And by the way, like anything goes in trades in fantasy. We were talking about this yesterday with Matthew. Like he thinks it's, the players you get for Cordarrelle Patterson are different than I do. I'm like, give it a shot. So What I will say, though, Daniel, is the hardest part about this is just that he's a tight end, right? Yeah. So if you're trying to pry him away from that manager, like, who is that person turning to, right? Like, the backup tight end on that person's roster might be, I don't even know who. They probably don't even have a backup tight end. So it's possible that that person's frustrated, but, I mean,
it's such slim pickings in the tight end.
He's probably still
department.
The second highest scoring tight end in fantasy this year.
Yeah.
Maybe Gronk is still ahead of him because he had those four touchdowns in the first 2 weeks. But, like, I can't imagine he's that far behind the top of the food chain.
I would agree. And I don't think that so I don't disagree. I just wanted to bring up as, like, a thought. Mm-hmm. But the idea of there really hasn't been a secondary group of tight ends that have come on so strong that you're like, hey, I'm going to sell high on this guy. Like, if Kyle Pitts had crushed it coming out of the gate, right? Maybe you could have that conversation. Or Logan Thomas or you know, but, like, that's not how it's been. So he's still been at the top, even though I just say it was just a question. Understanding we talked about bias.
Who was on which side of the argument?
Mike was on the wrong side. Mike's an idiot. Don't it doesn't matter.
Stupid idiot. We're gonna come back and talk about waiver wire pickups in just a minute. But first, new friends on the podcast. Eckrich. We can't all be college football national champs, but every one of us can be an Eckrich national tailgate champion. And you don't need years of training. You just need Eckrich smoked sausage. To win, you need to show Eckrich how you do every game day. Do you have a special recipe passed down over generations? Do you dress your sausage with team-colored toppings? Do you lay your deli meat on your sandwich as thick as you lay on the trash talk? However you do you, Eckrich wants to see it in all its glory. Enter at eckrich.com/tailgate. That's eckrich.com/tailgate.
Hoy, me mateys! It's me, Captain Squirrelbeard here, searching the high seas for the Ashley Bobashley and her crew. Wanting to let you know, this episode is brought to ye by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know as the season gets underway, ye gotta have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. Well, coming out of the draft, football fans know how hard it is to add to the right players that provide some excitement and spark to your team. Hard teammates. And sometimes ye gotta sub someone in to switch things up. Well, same thing goes for that drink in your hand on game days. So if ye be looking to sub in something more refreshing, reach yeself a crisp, delicious Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum and Ginger. Sub in the captain, Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find the captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York. Hearty mateys.
Oh my goodness.
How am I supposed to follow that up?
I know. Well, you can't. Well, first of all, if you really wanted to commit to the bit, you would have fully had pirate hat.
I know.
And
I'm sorry.
On, so,
I'm
you know,
sorry.
Next time, do better. But also, what's weird is that every, like, third sentence, he'd be Daniel Dopp.
It's hard.
Fantasy football. Yeah.
It's so hard. That's tough. I gotta be honest. A lot of that. So, the Ashley Bope. Ashley is a live read that we did with Katie Nolan. Back in the day. And so I just want a big shout out to Ashley and Katie from the original show, because they are like, it was all where it came from. And I love both of them. So I love you guys. Hope you're doing well. Love you, mean it. And, you know, it was just fun. It's fun to do the pirate voice.
You're like, his name was Steve in Dodgeball, right?
It was.
Yeah.
Steve.
I thought he was a pirate, but like every once in a while would break character.
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, when the sequel comes out, Daniel will be Alan's fill-in if they need like a stunt double or something.
Please, that'd be amazing.
So good. So
it's time for Free Agent Finds. And it's brought to you by Captain Morgan.
Her bench the boring drinks and sub in the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL.
All right, there, let's do it to
we? So I get to play the role of Matthew.
Yes. Oh, good
only
luck.
This will be very hard for you because I'm not going to interrupt you.
Okay. What?
That's going to be tough.
What?
I know you're used to it, but. This is the best part of the week when Field announces to the world his free agent finds.
Yes.
And obviously, as we were talking early in the show, you need them right now, especially at the running back position, but not just the running back position. Yes. So we start with a quarterback.
That's right. Sam Darnold for the Carolina Panthers has been exceptional. And I'll be honest with you, Stefania. I almost didn't include Sam Darnold on this list, and there's a very specific reason why. What he is doing is literally unprecedented. As I mentioned earlier, he's the only quarterback ever with 5 touchdowns on the ground in his first 4 games of the season.
Ever.
Ever. So it's not it's not going to keep up, right? Sam Darnold is a good athlete. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not anywhere close to that athletically. There have been designed runs that have led to those touchdowns, which is good. So there's a chance he gets you like another 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns this season. But I still think even that number would be significant. If he finished with 8 or 9 rushing touchdowns, that would be huge. All that being said, if you're looking to shake things up a little bit, he's also been good as a passer. He's got 300 passing yards in each of the past 2 games, and the matchup in Week 5 could not be any more savory. The Philadelphia Eagles, who, if you've watched their past 2 games, I need to go back and get the specific numbers, but Tim McManus, who covers them for us here at ESPN, noted that over their past 2 games, it's like 850 total yards of offense and like 83 points allowed. They are a complete mess on defense right now.
Which is so weird to say about the Eagles, but it just shows you how much times change.
They
things
sure
change.
Have.
So, and, you know, I did say earlier, I thought that, you know, with Christian McCaffrey back, it takes away maybe a couple of those end zone runs for Sam Darnold. But to your point, he's been incredibly efficient passing, except for the only person who doesn't think so is Robbie Anderson. But,
right.
But the connection he's had with the receivers, he's making smart decisions. Yeah. All of that pays off.
I'm calling this right now. Fix me game for Robbie Anderson. This Sunday. Yeah. Fix me game. I'm calling it right now Tuesday. That's your Tuesday call your shot here moment.
What happens when you get a fix me game wrong? Because we can't just go throwing out fix me games all willy-nilly field.
Are you ready? It's a fix me game. I'm calling my shot. And if I get it right, I receive a shot of Captain Morgan. If I get it wrong, you get it.
Oh, wait. How do I win?
You get it.
Oh, okay.
You get a shot. All right. Yeah.
We'll all do a shot. How about that? All okay. Right. Moving on. Now moving to the running back position.
Yes, this is where it really matters.
Yeah. And we've talked earlier about Chicago being in trouble because of David Montgomery, even Dan Graziano reporting earlier that he's going to be out multiple weeks, at least a month. What do we do there?
Yeah, it sounds like 4 to 5 games right now. So Damian Williams is the clear-cut number one ad this week in fantasy. And Damian Williams is a good player. As a matter of fact, Damian Williams has 12 career games with 12-plus carries. I'm sorry, 6 career games with 12-plus carries. Here's what he's done with those. 21.3 fantasy points per game, over 6 yards per carry, and 4 touchdowns. Now, we should note two things here. That was with Kansas City, where life is generally speaking easier on a running back, and they score a lot more points and touchdowns and have a lot more yards. And two, it's good that he's been really efficient when he's gotten those carries. It's notable that it's happened just 6 times in his career. Mm-hmm. The Bears' plan was probably not coming into the season, hey, let's make Damian Williams a featured back. It was clear that David Montgomery presented a much stronger option in that regard. With that being said, Stefania, their depth chart behind Damian Williams is paper thin.
Let me ask you a question, because Damian Williams did suffer a thigh bruise in Week 4. Now, reportedly, it's not too serious. There's a chance he could play in Week 5, but there's also a chance that he misses this week.
Yeah.
So behind him, Khalil Herbert.
Yep.
Yeah, I know you know all the stats on the rookie, 6th-round draft pick out of Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Tariq Cohen still out. You know, on the PUP list because of recovery from ACL. He is eligible to return after Week 6, but we've got this limbo period. What do you say to the folks who might pick him up if he's not available this week?
So, Damian Williams,
to play, I mean.
I here's what I would say. I think that we'll have a really good indication about his availability by Wednesday's practice. And what I mean by that is the Bears probably going to have to make a move of some sort. And I'm not talking about like a practice squad move. Like if they think there's a real chance Damian Williams won't play on Sunday in a game that they need, now they're back to 2-2, like you might have to trade for somebody. Like you might have to make a call to Marlon Mack, like the Colts running back.
Marlon Mack who's already raised his hand.
Yeah.
And you know.
So I think we'll have a pretty good indication there. And Matt Nagy. So my sense is that if Damian Williams does not play, I'm not sure I would trust anybody that would be the next man up. Khalil Herbert, you mentioned, who's been a good player for them on special teams so far, but I'm not convinced if he started,
not
he's an automatic top 25 play or something of that nature. But Damian Williams is a priority ad, and you might need to spend big this week if you play in a salary cap league. And I'm not saying you need to spend every last dollar you have, but this is a pretty unique opportunity for a guy who's a good player, who's performed well in big games, obviously the Super Bowl being most notable. And Damian Williams is a really, really good pass catcher. So Damian Williams, a clear-cut priority ad for anybody out there who needs some depth, and certainly those that are now not going to have David Montgomery for 4 to 5 weeks. The sense I get, by the way, is Tariq Cohen's nowhere close to returning. Like, yeah. it sounds like that one could be, you know, a little while here, yeah. Hopefully at some point this season. So Damian Williams, priority add.
Okay. Next up, since we're stuck in running back backfields that are hurting, we talked earlier about Joe Mixon being day-to-day, according to Zach Taylor, but likely out for week 5.
Yeah, and if he misses week 5, they would most likely, the Bengals, turn to another Oklahoma running back in Samaje Perine, who... Perine's an interesting player in the sense that, like, I'm not sure he's ever been, like, a great backup running back, but he has held on to multiple jobs back in Washington as a rookie.
I was going
to
say, wasn't he? Yeah.
He ran for over 600 yards as a rookie, which is, you know, as a guy who's, I think, a 6th-round pick, like, it's not amazing, but still, like, it's...
not nothing.
It's an accomplishment, yes. So Samaje Perine's the next man up. We saw this a little bit last year. He had a handful of games where he was kind of the guy, or at least... close to the guy alongside Giovanni Bernard for the Bengals last season. They have Chris Evans, 6th-round pick out of Michigan, an impressive pass catcher. It feels much more likely, though, that Giovanni Bernard, well, muscle memory there, that Samaje Perine takes over as the guy if Joe Mixon's out this week. So he would be the second priority add of the week here for the entire waiver wires. Samaje Perine has 39 catches on 44 targets in his career. So adept enough in the passing game, but you can get some of that value sprinkled on top of what I think could be 15 or 18 carries.
Well, it's not only running backs that have injuries. We have a litany of wide receivers who are out. And so who is available in the wide receiver department for us?
You guys hear me every year talk about how there are a few guys, like, I just need to get them off the waiver wire column because I'm going to be sick of writing about them again every single week because the narrative doesn't really change. And Emmanuel Sanders is right now that player who's coming off of another game with 5 catches. It's the Bills offense, which is steamrolling people right now. He's at 44% roster percentage. It needs to be over 50 this week. Yeah. Emmanuel Sanders is being used in a way that we haven't really seen Emmanuel Sanders, or I should say, maybe in a way that we have never seen him utilized. Specifically, he's averaging 15.5, or his average depth of target is 15.5 yards. That stands in stark contrast to 9.0 yards per season. So in 2020, playing with the Saints, he had a career-low average depth of target. In 2021, he's got a career-high average depth of target. Maybe that's because you go from playing with Drew Brees, whose arm obviously wasn't the same as it was for his entire career last year, to playing with Josh Allen, who might have the strongest arm in the league. Emmanuel Sanders, good player. He's got 5 catches and 70-plus yards in back-to-back weeks. Get him on your bench. Leave him there. Not saying he has to be started right now, but a useful piece to have on your bench.
He's also running really, really fast. And I think he's an interesting player in particular from the standpoint that he had major injuries. And he has overcome sort of the stigma attached to the injuries he's had. And that could be partially responsible for some of his lack of depth of target. You know, he might not have been the player who could have made those plays.
Yeah.
And then combined with the situation in New Orleans, and now he's in an offense where he's got a guy who can throw him the ball like that, but he's also proving that he's fully back and not to be written off.
By the way, when you say something like he's running really, really fast, people are like, okay, like, what is that, like, anecdotal? No, it's tracked via Next Gen Stats that he has been the fastest player on the Bills this year. Like, he has been flying out there for Buffalo. Let's get him off that waiver wire column.
All right. Another wide receiver. You want to have people pick up a wide receiver from the Jets?
Yeah, I know. Weird, right? but they do have 2 right now that are playing well. 1 in Corey Davis, who's been good in 2 of 4 games this season. He's way over 50%. But the other one, who was supposed to be the forgotten man in this Jets wide receiver group, and instead he's played 1 game and he had 7 catches on a team high, 9 targets in week 4. That's Jamison Crowder, who... Jamison Crowder maybe is only as valuable as Elijah Moore's health dictates. Elijah Moore, their 2nd-round pick out of Mississippi, missed last week because of a concussion. We'll see whether he's available for the Jets, who play in London on Sunday morning against the Falcons. That being said, Jamison Crowder is just like a professional chain mover, good for 10 fantasy points or so per week when he actually gets opportunities. He's a really good slot receiver. The Jets did make him take a pay reduction this offseason, and it seemed like the writing was on the wall that it was just a matter of time that Jamison Crowder was no longer a Jet.
Yeah. But I feel like that's useful. The conversation we were having in the preseason.
Yeah. And you know what, though? Here's what I keep an eye on. This is, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if you add Jamison Crowder, the value you're getting is the potential that if Elijah Moore misses time due to this concussion further.
Here we are. Yeah.
Yep. That A, you could see him lead the team in targets pretty consistently. B, if he's that close to like maybe not being a part of their plans, what if the Jets flip him for an asset at some point right before the trade deadline, which I believe is now a little less than a month away. I think it's November 2nd this year. So you could potentially find some value there for Jamison Crowder if he played for somebody else. Like, he's on a fairly useful contract that I think Jamison Crowder's value in fantasy has a chance to stick around. Get him and add him to your bench.
All right, one more here. We got tight ends. Tight ends just aren't very good.
They
aren't. Forget about the injuries. We just don't have many that are very good. But you have a guy that you want to recommend who lately, every time I look up when the Cowboys are scoring, there's a good chance I'm seeing this guy.
Yeah, and maybe it's Dalton Schultz that you're referring to. He is available in nearly 80% of leagues. And
why is he so available?
Yeah, so I think part of it is just that when you think about the Cowboys pass catchers, like how far down do you go on the list before you get to Dalton Schultz? That being said, he's running a ton of routes. He ran a route on 75% of the Cowboys' dropbacks last week. They seem to be playing a decent amount of two tight end sets. So yes. It's not like
you
him being
Jarwin
on the field.
Out there, but
yeah.
Schultz is their go-to.
It's not like one comes at the cost of the other in terms of opportunities, but it's pretty clear that Schultz has been the much busier man so far this year. And maybe this is in part dictated by the fact that Michael Gallup's on IR.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah.
What do you think happens when he comes back?
Which he's now missed, what,
this
two
is,
games?
Yeah, I think he's out one more. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the initial, the reporting was something to the effect of 3 to 5 weeks. So
yeah,
maybe
he's
Michael
been out
Gallup's
three.
Returned soon. Yeah. So it could be just, you know, it could be that he's out or he is back soon, I should say. But maybe that changes the narrative on Dalton Schultz. But what I am here to tell you is that who are you starting at tight end that you're so confident in that you would not want a player in Dalton Schultz who's got five or more catches three of his four games this season, who's got three receiving touchdowns? Like, wouldn't you rather turn to an offense in Dallas that's playing at such a high level? And we talked earlier how Dak has not been rushing near the goal line as much. Like, there are some opportunities here for Dalton Schultz, who, as I said a few days ago, also, he's going to be a free agent in March. He turned 25 in July. We've seen tight ends make bank in free agency. I feel like Dalton Schultz is the next one to come down that pipeline where all of a sudden you're like, Dalton Schultz just got like, whatever, $12 million a year. Wow, good for him.
Well, he really showed, you know, last year he stepped up because Blake Jarwin tore his ACL so early that Dalton Schultz, who we were expecting this, maybe this incredible year from Blake Jarwin, poor guy, tears his ACL. Dalton Schultz rises to the occasion, clearly develops a rapport there early on with Dak and then continued to be effective even after Dak was injured and then jumps right back into it this year. And Blake Jarwin, I thought maybe he'd have a chance to kind of catch up, but that really hasn't happened. Also, another note, Mike McCarthy said on Monday that he doesn't expect Michael Gallup to practice this week. So it looks like Dalton Schultz's status as that, you know, as the one of the three top pass catchers is still there on the as far as receivers, I should say, because Zeke's starting to catch more passes too. So
Stanford
there's really
tight
four
ends,
of them.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stanford tight end. So Dalton Schultz, Zach Ertz, Austin Hooper, Colby Parkinson for the Seahawks, who's been dealing with some injuries, but like so many Stanford tight ends around the NFL. So let's go ahead and rank these 5-1 here for those that are wondering what the priority should be if you are in a spot to make such a decision. I'll throw Jamison Crowder at number 5. Again, the volume should be steady. And I know that the Jets maybe had plans for him to not be a part of their offense for at least a long time, but they're not good enough where they can afford to not have their best players on the field. I think Jamison Crowder is just a good, solid PPR option. Put him on the bench, and you can make use of him when bye weeks roll around. The same thing could be said for Emmanuel Sanders, who you want as much of this Bills offense as you can get, and the hope is that it's more consistent for Emmanuel Sanders than it would be for somebody like in Arizona. We're talking about A.J. Green a couple weeks, and then you see Christian Kirk for a week here or there, and then you see somebody else. I mean, it's always DeAndre Hopkins, or at least you expect it to be DeAndre Hopkins every week, but like Max Williams, our tight end, has been fairly useful. So Emmanuel Sanders playing in Buffalo with a fairly consistent role. Dalton Schultz, number 3, and the reason being, like, you're probably in purgatory with your tight ends if you don't have Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or Darren Waller or TJ Hockenson. There's like 5, 6, 7 right now that you trust. Logan Thomas is hurt. Gronk is hurt. There are a few other players that just haven't produced at that position. Find yourself a Dalton Schultz. Number two, no surprise, Samaje Perine for the Bengals. Maybe even hopefully, it's just a one-week stint for Samaje Perine or even a zero-game stint for Samaje Perine.
But at least you know he's getting the work.
You think he's going to get the work? You think there's, if there's a chance?
Mixon's out.
And heck, we saw last year, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, like Joe Mixon had this foot injury that went from like a minor concern to the entire season.
Right.
He was out after that injury took place. So Samaje Perine, the next man up in the Cincy backfield, it's always hard to find backup or starting running backs for your fantasy team. And finally, Damian Williams, who will monitor his quad issue this week, but I do suspect he'll play in week five. Really, really talented player, and he's gotten opportunities. Good in the passing game. David Montgomery likely to miss between 4 and 5 weeks, according to Dan Graziano. Oof. Find yourself some Damian Williams worth a significant portion of your remaining salary in salary cap leagues.
Phil, I want to ask you one real quick question.
Okay.
Excuse me if you don't mind.
Sure, of course.
Prep this, so we don't have graphics or anything for it. But as a part of this, I'm looking at a player on my roster that I'm wondering if I should drop in order to be able to roster some of the guys that you're talking about.
Okay.
All right? And I just want to give you a couple of numbers. Without,
just one?
Just one. I'm just only okay. One. But he's wide receiver 68 on the season.
It's like a blind resume.
Yeah,
you're
we're doing a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. He's averaging 6.7 fantasy points per game as a wide receiver in a full point PPR league.
Okay, not good. Okay,
he's only had one game where he had double digits, and even that was low teens.
Okay.
His quarterback is quarterback 28 on the year, and he's averaging 12.1 fantasy points a game as a quarterback.
Okay.
I think I know who it is.
How do I keep holding on to this player? Or do I let go of Juju Smith-Schuster in order to be able to pick up one of the guys that we're talking about? Juju, wide receiver 68, has only hit double-digit points once, and Ben is awful.
Yeah.
And Chase Claypool was out last week. It's not like they've all even been healthy. Like there have been opportunities, it seems like, where he should be able to do more than what he's had. What do I do with Juju?
It's Najee Harris catching the balls, by the way.
That's pretty much all. Yeah. It's him and Deontay Johnson.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Long Deontay Johnson. Yeah. Anything underneath?
I would say this, Daniel. Those two running backs are more valuable right now than Juju Smith-Schuster. The two wide receivers, I think, have a chance to be more valuable. I'm not totally convinced that they are going to absolutely be more valuable than Juju. And Dalton Schultz, I'd say, like, if you need that tight end already have that IR spot that is utilized by somebody else and you can't slide a Gronk or a Logan Thomas in there, then I understand if you can't afford to roster, like, if you know, like, you need to drop someone, like, Dalton Schultz could be more valuable than Juju right now.
Thirsty Kyle just texted me, and I don't know if he's trying to be helpful or he's trying to, like, jab me. But he's like, Allen Robinson has been even worse.
Oh, my God.
Like, I know this because I have a lot of shares of Allen Robinson. But he was theoretically my wide receiver one in a couple of leagues. Wow.
So, Daniel, this is a good example, though, that, like, sometimes you need to just, like, completely distance yourself from the name here, right? And so if you have no idea who the player is, and you sort of led us there, but, like, he's only used in the short passing game. So the big play upside is significantly limited. His team has scored 5 offensive touchdowns in 4 games.
Yep.
So even the good players like the Deontay Johnsons have limited touchdown upside. The team invested a first round pick in a running back who's getting a lot of work right now, even if it's inefficient. The quarterback, as you just noted, is just woeful at the moment. What would be the reason why you need to keep this player on your roster other than the fact that Juju was a couple of years ago a fantasy superstar?
That's it. Name value right now is it. And the idea that we believe that there's still skill and talent inside of him that, like, maybe he could turn it around. But the problem is, it's not just about him.
It's not him.
Right?
It's the offense.
There's a whole offense. There's 10 other guys on that offense that you've got to be able to work around. So
it's tough sledding right now there for Pittsburgh. I don't know. Juju's far from a roster lock. Far from a roster lock right now. Obviously, which is too bad because he has been, at previous points in his career, so good.
So, Field, tell everyone where they can find your article.
That's right. It's available on ESPN Plus right now. Go check it out. It debuts usually Monday afternoon with an update on Tuesday morning in case anybody impresses on Monday Night Football. Hunter Renfro has been on the column previously, but another reminder last night that, like, he's still available in
leagues. He should not be on the column.
I know. It's crazy, right? But we'll get him over. I bet he goes over that threshold this week for two reasons. One, another good game. Plus, the PBU. Like, the pass breakup reminds people about Hunter Renfro. Go check to see if he's available in your fantasy league. Make it happen. Get him over 50%. Should we close it out with some extra analysis, Daniel?
Yeah, let's do it. Field Extra Analysis is brought to you by Corona Extra. Live the game day good life. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Field, and I'm going to start with you by throwing this question over about DeAndre Swift. Started the season out super strong. Last couple weeks have been tough, including this last game, 49 yards on 4 catches. Only 8.9 fantasy points. And we've seen a lot of Jamal Williams lately. He's not the guy that seems to be averaging 20 fantasy points like we had sort of hoped he was going to be. So do you think defenses are starting to figure out with the Lions, if we just shut down TJ Hockenson and the two running backs, we'll let Khalif Raymond and Quintez Cephas and all these other guys beat us?
Not worried about it, to be honest with you, because I don't think so. Because two things. Unless it's like Christian McCaffrey back there, a team is probably okay like letting a running back beat them in the passing game, because running backs don't catch 25-yard passes.
Sure.
Right? Like Khalif Raymond, even if he is a completely nondescript player relative to DeAndre Swift, is much more likely to catch a 25-yard pass than DeAndre Swift is. 25 yards down the field, I should say. So, I don't know. Like, my thought after Sunday was like, I don't have any different take on DeAndre Swift. I don't feel any less or more confident in him than I did after the first 3 weeks of the season. I was reminded, and we should just leave this, we should like hang a sign up somewhere that says this. Head coaches value different things in running backs than we do. The way that they use running backs is different than how we would use them, right? Because Jamal Williams is playing a lot. He's carrying the ball a lot. You saw that split screen right there for those that are watching. The number of carries those two players have is literally within one of each other. So, yeah, it's much more of a backfield split here in terms of the rushing attempts that we would have expected. But the receptions are way in the favor of DeAndre Swift. I'm fine with him. He's still a top 10 running back for me.
And real quick to say this, and I know I watch the Lions game, so you guys don't have to worry about it, because I know no one else wants to.
You do it so we don't have to.
But Taylor Decker was out this game. Yeah. Penei Sewell is starting at left tackle, even though he practiced all offseason at right tackle. I know he played left tackle in college, but it's a different game. You also have the idea that Frank Ragnow got hurt. He's our all-pro center.
Yeah.
He got hurt and left this game. So our offensive line, which is supposed to be a running strength or a strength of this team, has had some injuries, and so it's another reason why you could potentially downgrade them just a little bit.
Yeah, that about that. Can I move forward to the Seahawks backfield for
a second? Please do it, man.
And, you know, sometimes we're almost like airing grievances on this show. You know, as opposed to like telling you what it means, sometimes you just got to get it off your chest. The Seahawks in week 4, they won, which is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to take this one, Stefania? Go ahead. Have at it.
I have Chris Carson in the same league where I have Allen Robinson. He's killing me. And I don't know, as somebody who, you know, this is already, it's personally difficult because, you know, we've got the NFC West, and I'm never really rooting for the Seahawks to win, but then I'm forced to watch, and I'm looking at Chris Carson and actually cheering for him, and I'm wondering why I'm not seeing him on the field.
Yeah.
He had 14 touches last week, so I'm thinking, is Chris Carson hurt? Suddenly, that is my question. Alex Collins has a game. I mean, 10 carries, 2 catches for 34 yards, more work in the red zone, 5-3 red zone snap edge over Chris Carson this week. I remember Alex Collins. I think he did his little Riverdance dance when he scored this week. I remember that from Baltimore. I remember Alex Collins. I thought he looked very good in the preseason. I thought we saw from Alex Collins like, ooh, I actually had him on my bench to make my misery even worse because I wanted him in case something happened to Chris Carson.
Sure.
I really thought he would be the number two. I don't like 1A and 1B field. Tell me what's happening in Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure that anything necessarily happened. Sometimes coaches in the course of a game, like I don't know if this was the Seahawks looking forward to Thursday night
That's
football.
What I was. That was my next question. Yeah. Yes, they play on Thursday against the Rams.
I don't know if there was something that Carson did not do in week 4. Like, you know, whether it was a pass protection
mess up,
whether it was him not hitting the holes. But by the way, another running back who's not getting any passing game work right now is Chris Carson. He has 3 receiving yards over the past 3 games. He's averaging 1 receiving yard for the past 3 games. Now, all the positive indicators are still worth noting. He had 19 touches in week 1. He's got 13.7 per game since then, which I know is less than 19, but still, 13.7 touches per game is not nothing for Chris Carson, so that's good. But let's keep a close eye on this one Thursday night. If there's still a backfield split, then maybe there's something to this, Daniel.
I agree with you, Field. I'm here. I'm actually ready to wrap up the show. I wanted to say something, though, before we end it. Do you mind?
Oh.
No, have at it.
No.
I apologize about this. But I have been getting tweets about how we've been hearing little mouse clicks in the background of our podcast from people every once in a while. And I'm like, guys, you guys are crazy. I don't hear anything what you're talking about. And then I listened to the podcast yesterday.
Oh, man.
And then I listened to the podcast yesterday. You know what I heard? I heard
mouse clicks.
I heard friggin' thirsty Kyle over there just working up a storm.
That's who it is.
It could be far worse.
You know, when you have a mouse in your house and you were trying to find out where it is,
we found our mouse. That was it. First off, thirsty Kyle is a heavy clicker. One, like he's just he's got a heavy clicker finger. And two, his mouse is not a quiet one. I mean, it's pretty squeaky. It makes some noise. So if you've been hearing mouse clicks, it's
It's
not you. No, it's not you.
You literally just said it was me.
No, I'm just saying it's because we leave Kyle's mic up and we just realized that because we leave Kyle's mic up, that's where all those clicks were coming through. Because he is just silent through the whole show, but his mouse was coming through. So if you've heard it and it's been annoying, we found it. I apologize. Thank you for sticking with us until this point.
Wow, that is, I had give no that, idea that was
first
happening.
First of all, that's really good detective work.
Thanks, guys.
Secondly, give that mouse some cheese.
I know, right? He needs a little bit of cheddar.
Mouse. That mouse and the rest of us will be back here tomorrow. We'll talk week 5 rankings for Stefania, Daniel, and Kyle and his mouse. I am Field. We're back on Wednesday. Talk to you then.
Peace out.
Herp!